Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In the Lord's Prayer, there are some very familiar words. One such petition that we pray is this: Give us this day our daily bread. Now, it's important that we pray this petition specifically because daily bread has everything to do with the support and needs of the body, right? The clothes I wear, the food I eat, the house I live in, these are the ways in which God provides for me and you in a similar way, physically. These are physical blessings that the Lord gives. And we see that in our text for this morning, especially in the Old Testament reading and in the Gospel reading, there are these two widows. And the widows have relatively little. As far as daily bread is concerned, they are given not a lot of daily bread, right? If we talk about daily bread in terms of physical blessing, some of us have great physical blessing, and some of us have very little physical blessing. But it's not about how much or how little you have. What these stories teach us is about what you do with that blessing. And so today in Scripture, we hear the tale of two widows. The first was the widow at Zarephath. God sends his prophet Elijah to her and her son. All right, and when we find this widow, she's trying to gather sticks, right? She doesn't even have enough to buy like actual firewood so that she can cook her bread. She's got to like gather these sticks at the city gate. And then she's going to take it and take just a handful of flour she has left and a little bit of oil and combine them together to make a cake, which I don't know if you've ever made a cake with just flour and oil, but I could imagine it would be disgusting. The truth is this woman has nothing, right? And what does Elijah do? He comes to her and he says, give me some water. And not just water, lady, give me your last meal. And so she stops, right? Because at first it's like she's going to go get the water. But as soon as he asks for the bread, she's like, no go, right? Not going to do this. Sir, Elijah, your God already knows all this, but I have nothing. All I got is a piece of bread. And so what does Elijah do? He does the job of a prophet. He has spoken God's word throughout his entire ministry, and he doesn't stop now. He tells this woman, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil will not be empty. That's the gospel, right? God is going to provide for you. He is going to take care of you. Throughout this entire drought that you're living in, God's going to be with you. And so what does she do? Well, really, if you think about who she is, right? A widow from Zarephath, in Sidon, it means she is a pagan. She is not a member of the people of Israel. She's outside the one true faith. And so there is no reason for her entire, with everything based in her entire life, that she should actually trust these words of Elijah. There is no proof that Elijah isn't just trying to swindle her out of her last meal. She has no reason to believe that she's not just going to go ahead and give this bread to this guy and then she's just going to starve to death without her last meal. But what does her faith lead her to do? She listens to the words. She believes the words of Elijah. If she didn't, she would have never came back with that cake that he asked for. But she does. She gives the meal to Elijah. She gives the very last thing she had to God's prophet. And what does God do? But he follows through with his promise. He follows through with his word. And the jug is not spent and the flour doesn't run out. And on the eve of the Christmas season, could you imagine how many cookies you could bake with unending flour? It's spectacular. Her faith that is inward leads her to an outward action. But this isn't the only faith, right? We get another example of great faith coming from not the widow of Zarephath, but the widow with the two copper coins. Right? Jesus sets himself up opposite the treasury box, which, you know, at a certain point, if Jesus is watching, that's a little awkward. But everybody's walking by, right? And he's watching who's putting what in. And, you know, people with abundance, you know, they put in a lot. And then this widow, she comes, and all she has left to her name is two little pennies. And they both go into the box. And what does it teach us? It's not, like again, I said, it's not about how much you give. The Lord doesn't care how much you give. But he cares about the condition of your heart as you give. This widow, she recognized that God would give her daily bread, that God would give her everything she needed to support her body and life. And so when she puts those two coins into the treasury, she's making a confession. God, I'm going to give you everything because I know that you are going to give me more in return. And that's what God does. He sustains people. He gives them daily bread. You know, for the widow at Zarephath, it literally was daily bread, right? I mean, every day she could see the flour was there. Every day she could see the oil was there. But for this widow, in the treasury account, we don't know what happened to her. Jesus doesn't tell us what happened to this widow the next day, or the day after, or the day after. And the truth is that this is how our lives are. You know, it's great to hear the story of the widow at Zarephath, right? Because we can look back and in hindsight, we go, oh, she had this flour and oil for the entire time. And we go, but if I give that much, whether it be my time, my talent, my treasure, if I give everything that I am, how do I know that God's going to provide? You don't. The future is uncertain, and there's no way that you can prove that God is going to provide for you. But he himself has promised that he will. He himself has promised that he will give you every good thing in this life. And with a promise like that, and with a God who is, you know, throughout his entire history with humanity, he has always kept his promises. And so why should we expect him to doubt, or why should we doubt his promises now? There's no reason for us to. He has a perfect track record. And so the problem isn't with our God who provides. The problem is with us. It's our sin. And if we're really honest with ourselves, these women put us to shame. Myself included. It put us to shame. Instead of living lives of trust and faith in God, what do? We live lives of worry and distrust and lack of faith. We don't really believe that he's going to provide us with all of our earthly needs. Really, we believe that we need to reach out and grab those things for ourselves. And we're all guilty of it. You know, when was the last time you thought about money? Maybe how much money you could make, or maybe how you could start to make more money. When was the last time, maybe a few weeks ago, when you see the Powerball jackpot beginning to rise and you start to cast your covetous eye? When was the last time you lost sleep over the state of your investments or over the dwindling number in your retirement account? My friends, we don't trust in God for our daily bread. The Lord will provide. He has promised it. And if we can't trust God for our physical well-being, you know, the things that we can touch, the things that we can see, the things that we can experience in this life, then how can we trust him for the spiritual things? The things that we cannot measure. The things that we cannot see with our eyes or taste with our tongue. The truth is that faith is not so easily divided between spiritual things and temporal things. We either believe with our whole heart, or we don't. We don't have perfect faith. You or me, we don't. We don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We're sinners, and it needs that we need to repent. That means we turn from our sin. We set ourselves to do better. And better than that even is that we need to receive forgiveness. That's why we look at these two widows this morning. And in fact, it's why we look through these two widows to somebody who is far greater than both of them combined. Jesus Christ. Because what does Jesus do? He doesn't put in, you know, the last thing he has. He doesn't just give away, you know, his last two pennies. He gives away everything. Trace through Jesus' life. What does he give? You know, if we look at the start of his ministry, right? The first thing that Jesus does after he's baptized is he gets led out into the wilderness. And he gives up his food. That way he can be tempted by Satan in his absolute weakest state. He's hungry. And he has all the power of God within him. And so he can very easily turn the bread or the stones into bread as Satan tempts him to do it. But in doing that, he would be saying that I can trust in myself for daily bread. And so he refuses. Instead, he recognizes that God is going to provide for him. It might not be today, but God will see him through. God will sustain his body, and God will sustain him in every single aspect of his life. And he resists the temptation. He's faithful. He shows his trust in God. And what's more, but as he continues through his ministry, he never serves himself. He always recognizes that God is a giver in abundance. And so when he has extra time, that doesn't happen for Jesus, right? The crowds, you know, he has to wake up early in the morning just to get a little bit of a devotion time for himself where he goes to pray or something like that. And then the crowds literally swamp him until late at night. But he has so much compassion for these people that he won't cast them away. He won't tell them to go. Instead, he takes care of them. He heals them. He teaches them. And he does everything he can. He invests his time in his people. And he gives up his own rest. Why? Because he knows that in God's time, he will get it back. In God's time, he will be provided for. And he is. Over and over again, Jesus is sustained. The more he gives, the more God gives him. And he has this entire 3-year ministry where he lives as a servant, as a slave of his people. And then he goes to the cross. And what does Jesus do on the cross? But he prays. He prays. He shows his trust in the Father. And you go, if Jesus is praying for daily bread as he's literally in the last hours of his life, what in the world is he doing? He's trusting in God even unto death. Because remember, daily bread has everything to do with our physical bodies. What does Jesus know? Even in the moments before he dies, he knows that God is going to take care of his body. And what happens? But 3 days later, again, God follows through. Jesus comes back to life to show us the sort of God that we have, a God who loves us and cares for us, and even in the midst of death will still take care of us physically. Because, my friends, the resurrection is a reality for all of you. When Jesus comes again, he will raise everyone's body back to life, and you'll live forever. Daily bread certainly is about today, but it's about eternity. It's about the gifts that Jesus gives to us. It's about forgiveness. Because like I said, we don't have perfect faith. We're not these widows. But God loves us anyway. He cares about us anyway to show us the way to faithfulness through his Son. And he promises that, yes, your sins are forgiven. Do you believe it? Because the truth is that if you do, it means that you're beginning to be like these widows. It means that in every circumstance, whether you have abundance or whether you have lack, whether you have joy or sorrow, whether you have sickness or health, whether you are in the midst of life to its fullest or whether or not you are downcast by the reality of death, the Lord has provided. He's provided you with faith. Faith to believe that he is a gracious God who loves you. And believing these words, you are not unlike the widows from our text. Because you do trust in God. That's what faith is. If you believe these words, you are not unlike these widows because God's promises he made to you are certain. You know, we have a few guests here this morning. I don't know how many of us are baptized in this room. I know most of the regularly assembled congregation is. But the truth is that in baptism, you become one of God's children. And I don't know about you, but my children are still pretty young. I feed them at least 3 times a day. Sometimes I give them little treats. You know, sometimes I get candy, especially after Halloween, things of that nature. But the truth is they get to eat. Why do I feed my children? But because I love them. And as you are children of God in your baptism, why would we expect anything different than from our Heavenly Father? You are His children whom He loves, which means He will provide for you physically, spiritually, in every way He knows is best, both now and forever. Why? Because honestly, you're not unlike those widows. And just like those widows, you will be provided for. You will be cared for. Because if God was not willing to withhold His own Son for you, He won't withhold anything else either. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your daily bread in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.